Well, hello, everyone. I'm Joseph of Bethlehem. And well, as you can tell, I'm a carpenter. I mean, I know it's not the illustrious career that some aspire to be. I mean, I know there's a lot. I think even myself wanted to at some point be a Sadducee, you see. But for me, I just had to kind of settle in this place of being a carpenter. It's kind of what happened for me in life. I didn't get to go to school like the Pharisees did. I had an apprenticeship from my father, and I actually taught my son, maybe you've heard of him, Jesus, I taught him how to be a carpenter. Because ultimately, while it may not be the job I was aspiring to, it helped us to really kind of hammer out the kind of life that needed to happen. I want to tell you my story because while ultimately it's about Jesus, it kind of happened for me in a much different way than you might think. For you, maybe it's something different, but me, I was just kind of going about life. I was I was a guy that was looking for hopes and dreams of this life. I was a Jewish guy, or am a Jewish guy, and I lived the best Jewish life that I knew how. I kept the law that I was taught, and I would go to the temple, I would do the sacrifice, and I would do the things that ultimately that a good Jew should do. Because I wanted, like many people, I wanted the God of the universe to be pleased with me. I wanted him to look at me and say, Joseph of Bethlehem, I'm proud of you. You're a good person. I like you. And so I did everything I could. I mean, everything. And in fact, my story goes back a little bit in that for me, one along the way, a family that I knew had a daughter named Mary, and her dad, Eli, came to me and he said, I really think that I want to give my daughter to you. Now, I want to take just a minute. Even before I get into that, because ultimately when we go through our story, I just want you to understand this from the very, very beginning. For me, this is really what it's all about. For a Jewish guy that spent his life trying to please God, it's really when I discovered that that faith in God is and always will be faith in Jesus. Now let me just nail this down for you, because I'm a carpenter. So faith in God is ultimately and always will be faith in Jesus, and it was for me. There's this discovery that happened along the way. So I meet Mary's father, Eli, and he looks at me and goes, now there's a righteous guy. And in fact, for me, when I was growing up, I always kept part of God's scripture close to my heart. In fact, one particular one, normally I could just whip it right out from top of my head. But, I'm a carpenter. I'm not used to being in front of people, and I get a little nervous. So this really was always near to me. Actually, it's written in the book of Psalms. And it's the fourth chapter. It says, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Always wanted that open ear. A burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the roll of the book written of me. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. See, Eli saw in me, and I think what other people saw in me was that I went and I did the burnt offerings. I did what I was supposed to, but there was always something in my heart that didn't want to have to worry about doing all the right sacrifices. There was part of my heart that really at the depths of it just wanted to listen for God's voice and do what he said, knowing that it pleased him. And for me inside, doing the law, it's what I did, but it really wasn't the most fulfilling thing. But Eli, he looked at me and he went, okay, well, you're good enough to have my daughter. And so let me just take a moment even before I get even into that part of the story, because, as a Jew, you may not be Jew, so your customs are different than my customs. And so really, us Jews really think we know how to build a good marriage. So this is how it works for us. We would have this time where, we would have this this engagement part where this daughter would be offered. And then, being the man, I'd have to go make sure that I would have the dowry. And then there'd just be this year period of time where we would get to know one another. In fact, you know, my dad, you know, Mathan, he always used to tell me, Joseph, make sure in that betrothal period, you have at least one good fight because you want to know what you're getting into. And, you know, she's got her rights. And, you know, so we, you know, we'd have that year period. And then I would, you know, me, I'd do my job and go do the things I need to do, prepare for her, come into the house, so on and so forth. And then would come the time where we would have this great feast in our village, and there'd be 7 days of feast, and that was the wedding celebration. And then it culminated, and some of you might understand this, just some tent time, and then we were married. And you know, as Jews, we knew how to make that perfect marriage, as it were. And I know there are some people, I wasn't one of them. And I think Eli, he knew this, that, you know, some people, they just want to get married so they have the wife to carry the water back from the well. You know, the wife who's going to have the kids and make sure dinner's ready and things. Not me. Knowing Mary over the years, there's part of me that really just came to care for her. That really just looked at her personality, who she was as a person, and there was this connection there. And so I went to Eli and I said, you know, we need to make this official, which would have began the year for us. And I you know, I didn't have a lot. And so I said, it's the best of what I had. And so what I took to him were two goats. And I said, not only will I give you two goats for Mary, but I will build you a phenomenal pen for not just the goats, but for your sheep and the few cattle you got out there. I'll do that for you. And so, you know, we don't have time to go there today because I'm really proud of it. You know, if you were raised in my family, we would go around the village and I would say, yeah, I built that and I built that. And yeah, we did that. And because, you know, you tend to go look around the things in your life and you get really proud of these things that you built with your hands. And so our betrothment time started. And as it goes along, I would go away to a job at a different village, and I'd come back and I, quite honestly, Mary wasn't the same. Something had changed. I mean, first of all, she was getting sick all the time. Well, and then she was kind of moody. And I knew something wasn't right. And so I decided that, you know, we need to sit down and have this talk. And because, you know, that's what married people do, right? We sit down and we have a talk. And so I sat down and I said, what's going on? You're not the same. You know, never forget. She looks at me and all of a sudden her eyes started to water and tears started to run down her cheeks. And ever so slightly, she's never seen her do this before. Her bottom lip just starts to quiver just a little bit. And I started to think, what's going on here? She goes, I'm with child. I don't know what that would do to you. It shocked me. I mean, it, like, in this moment, I have all these feelings of anger and sadness and frustration. I'm inside, I'm thinking, God, I lived by your law. Why would you allow this to even happen to me? Because all of my plans for the future in that moment, it changed. So I start thinking. I don't know about you, but I, you know, when you first get some news that just rocks your world like that, you know, there's some anger that rells up inside of you. And listen, I may not be the sharpest nail in my pouch, okay? But I know this, that if you're betrothed and you end up with a kid, you're taken out of the town and you are stoned. And I don't know if you've ever seen that happen, but it is a horrific experience. And not just for the person getting stoned, but the whole family and the whole town would look at this. And I'm thinking, at that moment when I heard, part of me just wanted to grab the first rock. Why would she do this to me? And then I'm trying to explain it the best I can. Because I don't even know how, what happened in this moment. She says, the Holy Spirit made me this way. Oh, great. Bringing God into this now. But I cared for Mary, and I knew that the look that was in her eye when she said that, it wasn't deception. There wasn't trying to needle through something, making two boards that weren't meant to fit. It wasn't like that. There was a sincerity. And it caused me, quite honestly, pause. I didn't know what to say. So I didn't say anything. I'm just kind of this guy that, you know, being raised a carpenter, the carpenter's creed is you measure twice and cut once. Well, I thought I had measured and measured and measured, and then this happens. What am I going to do with this? There's this place that I have. It's near the water. And I like to go there to kind of contemplate, to get away from everything else, get away from the hustle and bustle of the activity of life in the town square. And it's this great place because I couldn't describe right where it's at, but I know where it's at because when I go there, I can lay down and I can find this place of somewhat comfort that I can really ponder as I'm listening to the waves of the water kind of lap against the shore. It's calming for me. And I'll tell you, I was pretty worked up. And so I sat down and the reason I like this spot is I put my head back and there's this rock and this rock actually fits perfectly to the back form of my head. So I can kind of relax there. And you might think that as angry as I was, I shouldn't have been able to fall asleep, but it's almost something came over me. And all of a sudden I find that I'm asleep. And that's when my whole world really changed. And it really changed for the better. Because what I thought was bad was ultimately part of something much bigger. I mean, I've told people, and they don't believe this experience that I have, but it's my experience. It was me. I was there. I know what happened. And it was in a dream. And an angel of the Lord, I want you to hear that. An angel of the Lord came to me. Now, I know. If someone was telling me this story, I'd be thinking, yeah, you're not the rabbi. You don't got it all figured out. You're not the one with the flowing robes and the turbans and all the great stuff. And God came to you. I'm telling you, God came to me. This angel of the Lord, it shows up in my dream. And what he said next, I'm telling you, just rocked my whole world. He said, because he should have known, you know, it's Joseph, son of Nathan, but he didn't say that. He says, Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David. Do you know, all of a sudden, something happens while I'm in this dream. It happens in my heart. It's like this burst of joy and reality that opens up that maybe my life is more than just confined to these few short years that we have. That my life might be actually connected to the bigger story of the history of Israel because he connected me with our greatest king ever, King David. Wow. I don't know what to do. He certainly got my attention, but what he said next, he says these words to me. He says, don't be afraid. Now, I guess I didn't realize I was afraid. All the moment I wanted to pick that rock up and be the first one to cast the stone, I think probably looking back, it had to do with fear. My world had changed. I was afraid that life was not going to be what it was supposed to be. When I even walked away and I kind of went, you know what, I'm just going to put her away quietly and divorce her. Because, you know, in the betrothal period, you can do that. And I could have done that quietly because, you know, I kind of got over my anger and I thought, well, I'll just put her away quietly. But maybe even that was just fear. Because I knew what it would be like to head off to the job site and you know, because, you know, at every job site, you know, there's always a couple guys making those jokes, right? How would you like to be the one that they're kind of, you know, making the joke about? Because, you know, it's a small town. You tell one person, it's everywhere. And so maybe it was fear. And he says, don't be afraid. Go ahead and marry. Marry. Now, those weren't his words. My words. He said it was okay that, wait a minute. How can this be okay? I've lived my whole life one way thinking, this is what will make God happy. But when the angel came to me, he said, it's okay to marry her. Maybe it isn't just as simple as the do's and the don'ts anymore. Maybe this God who's initiated with something with me has a different plan. And then he says, because the child that has been conceived, with the Holy Spirit. I knew. This is what Mary told me. That God was doing something profound in my wife. He was doing something beautiful. The whole world was going to look and go, this is a bad thing. But God was up to something. And he said to me, and I want you to call his name Jesus. Jesus. Now that name, everyone seems like, you know, seems to know the name of Jesus. But it wasn't just a name, because that angel said, he will save his people from their sins. In that moment, it came back to me. This Jesus, he's going to be what's required for the offering. I don't have to focus in on all the offerings. I can just have an open ear. I can listen. Oh, wait a minute. I'm already hearing what this God who seems to be shifting everything in the world at this moment is saying to me, that I can have an open ear to listen to him, and he will guide, he will direct me into a life that isn't just a matter of hammer and nails, but is a life that is connected to a bigger story. A life that is just not bound in a few short years, but a life that is worthwhile. And so I did what he said. I chose to be obedient, to listen to his words in the face of ridicule and mocking and all the different things that came associated. I chose to be obedient. And I know there are some people that they look at our family and they say things like, well, there's Joseph, Jesus's father. Well, I know that I might have this title father, but it's got foster in front of it, because Jesus was conceived by the heavenly father in a miraculous way that my mind, it can't wrap around or fully understand. I can't lay it out like blueprints and know that if I cut this and I hammer this and I set this here, it doesn't work that way. The God of the heavens is so much greater than my mind or your mind. It just happened. God made it happen. And then God in his providence said, Joseph, you're the guy to foster that life. And so I had this responsibility. That's why I taught him to, nail and saw. I mean, he, when he was 7 years old, I'd put him on my knee and I would say, you're going to be a carpenter. Because that's what I knew. God knew a whole lot more than I knew, but that's what I knew. And so as he was able to put a hammer in his hand, I put a hammer in his hand because it's what I knew. And I did what God wanted me to do, just what I could do. In fact, I know there are those that they'll say, how could you have ever taken a pregnant woman, headed off to Bethlehem? I mean, after all, she didn't have to go, you had to go. But again, they didn't understand. They didn't know what life was like with the rumors and the innuendos and the looks as we would walk down the town center. And so I did only what I knew to do. I took Mary with me and we headed off on this journey and we ended up on Bethlehem. And wouldn't you know, God, he knew all along. He knew where Jesus needed to be born. He knew that Bethlehem is the city of bread and Jesus is the bread of life. He knew these things. I didn't. I only did what I knew to do. And it was in those moments that I discovered that faith in God ultimately, and always will be faith in Jesus, as I did what I could with Jesus, the Heavenly Father, he was thrilled with me. He could have chosen another. He could have said, I'll choose a different foster parent for Jesus, but he didn't. He chose me, Joseph of Bethlehem. And so in that, I said yes. In that moment, I said yes. When I woke up from that dream, I stepped into the life that before even Adam and Eve, God had planned for me. The moment I woke up in that dream, I stepped into the grace that God of the universe had for me, but I had to step there. And in stepping there, what I found was a life of destiny and purpose. That while my words are not recorded in the annals of history, the actions of my life that believed in God and then believed in Jesus caused Jesus to grow in stature and grow in favor with man and with God. Because I had an experience. And I tell everyone whenever I can, God wants you to have an experience as well. He wants to come and change the direction of your life so that it's not just meaningless, boring doldrums, but that he can show you that he wants to write you into a much larger story, a kind of story that may never have your words written in the annals of history, but your actions will show generations that faith in God always is and will be faith in Jesus. So, here's where I want you to be this morning. If you just bow your heads with me. We live in a world that tells you this is how you do it right. And you can spend a lot of your life just trying to get it right and you never succeed. And it's such really a purposeless life to try to just get it right. The Holy Spirit is really this morning like that angel of the Lord, and he's calling you into a bigger story this morning. He's saying, don't let your lives be just bound by what your hands can do, but step into a life that will go far beyond 60, 70, 80, 90 years, so that God can take your steps and he can allow generations to follow to turn their lives toward Jesus. And we do that simply by saying, Lord, come and forgive me of trying to do it my way. I choose to do it your way. I choose to give my life to you. When you do that, something explodes in your heart. It's called life. Because Jesus has come and he will show you a better way. And at times you're going to be thinking that I'm just kind of going and doing what I only know to do. But along the way, you're going to find that God was working in that the entire time. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give that life to Jesus this morning, would you just let me know by an upraised hand, say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to turn it completely over to him. Yeah, you can put that hand right back down. Thank you for that. Because when we give our lives completely to him, it doesn't mean that we have a perfect life, but then we are made perfect in him and we follow him. I would like everyone just to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for trying to do it my own way. I give my life over to you. I choose to step into the life that you have always planned for me. Help me to grow and become the person you want me to be, so that future generations might see Jesus in my life. Amen.